Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Rachel Abbott, and this is The Leader. Today we're giving you some bonus content taken from our business show, How to Be a CEO. An opportunity to hear from the most powerful people behind some of the world's biggest brands. This is a cut-down version of the full episode. To hear the full thing, hit the link in the show notes. Find a new episode of How to Be a CEO every Monday morning, and why not give it a rate and follow whilst you're there? Now, let's begin.
Some roles come with certain ways and traditions that may stretch back even centuries. So what happens if you get one and then realise it doesn't have to be like this?
I think in general practice, human contact is definitely important, but not always. So I think that's, you know, and I'm definitely not advocating that everything should be online. There's always a place for face-to-face or phone. But I think, you know, actually sometimes for some conditions, you don't need to come in.
This is an invitation to meet Dr. Murray Ellender, CEO of eConsult, an online consultation service used by more than 3,200 GP practices in the UK.
So eConsult is a platform that allows patients to interact online with their own GP. So they go in either through the NHS app or through their GP practice website and answer a series of questions about their condition. And so say they have back pain, the system will ask them all the same questions that they would answer if they were sat in front of a doctor. That information then gets collated and pushed through to their doctor, and they review it within 24 hours. So we say to the patient, you will get a response back by the end of the next working day.
So this is a story about disrupting the status quo and how to convince people that just because it's always been done one way, it doesn't mean there isn't another. I'm David Marlson from the Evening Standard. We're meeting Murray at the Docklands Medical Centre on the Isle of Dogs in London. It's a special place for him. This is where he started his career as a GP.
It was incredibly exciting to, you know, walk into a GP setting and know that actually this was the future. I'd be working in general practice for the rest of my life in one way or another. So yeah, it was incredibly exciting. Slightly intimidating, I'd say, as well.
So what happened first? How did eConsult transform?
The first step was not thinking we need to set up a company. The first thing actually was thinking, look, actually, we've got a great opportunity here. We've got almost like a laboratory to test new ways of working in. We had a GP practice. We had willing doctors, nurses, receptionists, and patients who didn't mind trying new things. I mean, no patient minds trying a new way of interacting. So actually, we tried various things. We set up a kind of live chat service with a GP. But actually, that's a bit unmanageable because you've got to
have... Is that like a text thing?
A text-based live chats. And we tested that out. The problem with that is actually it's almost open. It's like one of those things where you kind of go online and you can talk to an advisor. Yeah. The problem with that is it's almost too easy a way to access. You know, you've got to have a GP basically manning it the whole time. Mm. And when you're dealing with 15,000 patients, really tricky.
That's a lot of patients.
Yeah, exactly. So we tried video. And video consults, but actually found that video doesn't really save any time. You still need 10 minutes of a doctor, 10 minutes of a patient at the same time.
Yeah.
And also the broadband in this building in most practices is not very good. So you get a couple of doctors on a call and it all grinds to a halt. And,
yes.
You know, that's annoying for all concerned. So that's when we kind of came up with this idea of let's gather the story from the patient up front. Like, find out what's wrong with them and then put that in front of the doctor. And I guess the first step was then to go, right, well, first we have to have enough different clinical presentation. So you can't just go on and say, hey, look, yeah, we've got this e-consult thing. It works for back pain, but nothing else. You know, you have to have a kind of a body of consultation. So, you know, we had to put all the kind of common conditions online. Patients who are worried about they have a UTI or they might be depressed or they have back pain or they need a, you know, so that was the big bit of work at the beginning.
Yeah.
It was really designing, authoring all that clinical content.
How big a bit of work is that? I mean, what do you have to do with that? How many people does that involve?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that was the big bit at the beginning. You know, we literally locked six doctors in a room for 6 weeks.
That doesn't sound healthy, Mark.
No, it's not. It was a windowless room as well. And it was.
Were you one of those six?
No, I wasn't actually. I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones. I said, this sounds like a really good idea. Yeah, go and do that. But the idea there was to come up with almost the perfect consultation for each of those conditions.
Yeah.
So if you had a patient come in who said, I've got abdominal pain, or I think I've got hay fever, mm-hmm. what are all the things that we would ask them? And then actually getting that group of GPs to agree on a set of questions that you would ask. You know, and that actually took some debating, but you then ended up with some really rich content that we then basically put on a website and pointed patients at.
How do you get six GPs to agree on what to say to someone? Is that what took a while?
Agreeing the histories was actually all right. It was agreeing then the kind of the safety flagging within them. So at what point would actually, this sounds a bit more serious, I'd probably invite them in. You know, those triggers, those are the things that kind of get debated and argued about. But that's healthy because you then end up with a set of content that actually most GPs will then accept. And that's what we found over time. Actually, you can put this content in front of lots of GPs and actually they go, yeah, that's a pretty good history for back pain or for depression or for hay fever. And actually what we found is you're taking a pretty thorough story from the patient, probably more thorough than the one that I'd have time to take in that 10-minute window. Because actually we have the opportunity, because it's done in the patient's time, to ask them lots of questions, possibly a bit more, and go into a bit more of the safety. And you can also ask them things like their smoking status and their alcohol, you know, pick up useful public health type information at the same time.
Do you find that patients are more honest?
That's one of the really interesting phenomena that we've come across, is that actually for some conditions and some patients, they find it easier to impart information in this way.
Yeah.
So we call it digital disinhibition. So if you think conditions that patients might perceive as embarrassing, like hemorrhoids, or if they are anxious or depressed, actually for a 22-year-old male who's feeling anxious, it's quite a hurdle to get into a physical GP consulting room and speak to me. Whereas actually they don't mind interacting like that online and answering a series of questions. And actually we're uncovering, I think, you know, health presentations that we weren't picking up before. So it's actually good. I think it's a good thing.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
How did you sell it? Because people need to know that it exists. So how did you do that? Was there a series of networking through friends of yours? Or did you just all sit down and go, well, we've got this. We think it could do well. Here's how we push it out.
I mean, initially we were selling it almost door to door to GPs, you know, and actually, and it's, what's nice about it is it's relatively inexpensive technology, you know, because it's text-based, it's on, runs on a website. So, you know, you need all the platform infrastructure and everything, but it's not ridiculous. It doesn't involve AI and robots. And actually, we found that you could sell it to GP practices. You could convince them of the return on investment that you got. And actually, it made sense. You know, and we presented at national conferences, and GPs had come up to us afterwards, go, this is really cool. Are you selling it? I think in about 2016, the NHS clocked on that something was going on. And they said, look, this sounds like a good idea. They then put some money behind, not behind us, but behind the idea. So they then backed online consultation as an idea.
Which must have been the official seal of approval.
Absolutely. I think that was the time when, you know, suddenly actually, you know, because it's all very well, you know, and actually, you know, GPs telling other GPs is a good idea. But when kind of when the NHS swings behind something, yeah. It did two things, though. It clearly helped us to scale, but it also introduced competition.
That's something I want to talk about. How do you set a price point for something that doesn't exist yet and you've no idea who will take it?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think we certainly set a price point which was, you know, we thought pretty reasonable. It was a little bit finger in the air, but it was based on what could a GP surgery afford to pay, based on what we know they get per patient per year. And so, and we were selling at about 75p per patient per year. So if you think of an average practice, 10,000 patients, it would cost them about £7,000 for the year. So, you know, not bad. And actually you could prove a return on investment for that. So it was kind of okay. NHS England put some funding behind it. And actually they put a decent amount of funding behind it. So £45 million over 3 years. Wow. Which you kind of think, oh, great.
Yeah.
Now, if you do the maths though, divide that by the number of patients in England over 3 years, it's 25p per patient per year.
Yeah, NHS knows what it's doing.
Yes, exactly. Very clever. So effectively, they then set the price. And competitors who are trying to get in were like, well, we can do it for that. Which is, it's, you know, and that's good for the public purse in some ways. Okay, so I think the thing that does, though, is it does slightly limit innovation. I think if you're very public sector about pricing something,
yeah.
What you can run the risk of then is saying, okay, well, great, we've got the price really low. But actually, does that then stimulate the product or the investment in it and make things, you know? So I think it's an interesting and fine balance.
Lots of companies have a moment when they become successful. Your moment must have been in the COVID-19 pandemic when patients couldn't see their GPs.
I think that's probably fair. That was the time that... you know, we'd been pushing this for a while and we had lots of practices using the platform, you know, 1500, but actually overnight, suddenly there was a need for this sort of service.
And I think there is a genuinely serious point to e-consulting that GPs and doctors were at the very start of this, they were very much at the front line. People died. They caught the disease. They had patients in there. Does this system make it safer to be a GP?
Potentially it does. So certainly, and we noticed that certainly in the kind of early phases of COVID when, you know, lots of GPs were working remotely, especially kind of more vulnerable GPs. So perhaps more elderly GPs or pregnant GPs, we could still put them to work. You know, they could work safely from home, managing patients via an e-consult. And, you know, that's a good thing. You know, actually, you're not losing your workforce because they're having to self-isolate. Say, you're actually allowing them to keep working, which they often want to do, but do it safely. You know, you're never going to completely minimize the risk. You are always going to have to see a certain number of patients face-to-face. And as you know, GPs carried on seeing patients face-to-face throughout the pandemic, but certainly we didn't have to see everyone face-to-face. And so that definitely was, you know, safer for sure.
That was an invitation to meet Dr. Murray Ellender of eConsult. If you like that, maybe tell your friends about it. And please do drop in again. We're around every Monday morning. Hit your follow button and we'll see you then. Or whenever you like, because it's always a pleasure to meet you.